I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Third hour on the show as we start to move into the 5 Eastern, 2 Pacific hour. Coming from our studios, the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. So, if you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. So, no surprise, the NBA approves the 22-team return and continuation of the regular season. All teams within six games of a final spot in the playoffs. Western Conference has five teams. The Eastern Conference has the one with the Wizards. These are all things Teek and I hit yesterday down in Disney. And, you know, we'll see where this goes. What's interesting, though, and I don't have the answer to this yet, but the rest of the NBA calendar has been laid out as well. So the lottery will be August 25th. That's when you'll figure out where you're drafting. The draft will be October 15th. But here's a question for you. When is free agency?
That's a great question, because they got to smash it in. I mean, I don't know.
I mean,
I didn't even think about that, BT. But
all I could think of, if it follows the conventional rhythm of obviously the months are different, but the rhythm of previous of really every other NBA season, then free agency would start after maybe October 22nd. Think about this: you have the draft in June every year, and then free agency starts in early July, July 1st.
This is from Shams, who says, the NBA informed the Board of Governors the following schedule. Training camp is June 30th, as we talked about. They go to Orlando July 7th. The season, free agency would be October 18th.
A couple days after the draft.
Yep, couple days after the draft.
Okay.
So, I mean, this is quick, man. You find out really quickly what you have and what you don't think, and then you got to figure it out, man. So
yeah. I still wish.
What's that legal tampering period? Like, it's kind of all.
That's called any day you want.
Yeah, exactly.
Yo, we playing together this year?
Exactly. Figure it out,
joining
guys.
Up?
Figure it out, guys.
Exactly.
Get away with murder this offseason.
You know, we talk about like these laboratories for experimentation here, because it's such a wacky sports year and such a wacky time in our world with, first, the pandemic, and obviously now what's going on with all the race relations and everything. But I really thought, and I do think the NBA will do as much as they can control. They will nail almost everything. They will do most things right. But I still think, and I've always said this, why not flip it? Put free agency first and then do the draft. Because you can see who you don't get.
Yeah.
Or what you don't hit on, and then you could use the draft to kind of supplement the roster.
Yeah, but do you think that the draft is ever a supplemental piece?
No, not in terms of the lottery. No, of course not. But in terms of trades, in terms of bolstering it with a shooter or a big, it depends where you draft.
I think in football, the draft it's a viable fixer, right? You can draft somebody who can maybe play right away. You can slot them right in, especially if they're elite in college. Say a cornerback or a tight end or whatever, even a tackle. Some of these tackles are just like grown men at 22 years old. They can jump right into the NFL and get it. But the NBA, it's almost like the lottery picks teams aren't necessarily ready to compete. You know, and there are rare exceptions.
Absolutely.
But there's rare exceptions where you're drafting a kid in the top, say five or six of the draft, and he's going to be so impactful that he's going to make the team relevant. And so it's almost like you're drafting to develop. in the NBA. And then once you get later in the first round, especially in the second round, it's kind of just you're taking a shot. Like maybe this guy's going to be a role player. You know, maybe he turns into a, you know, sixth man of the year type guy. But it's very rare that I feel like in the NBA, mm-hmm. you're drafting for immediate need. And so in free agency, especially in the NBA, these guys aren't going to, if they have the choice, and they're not getting, if they're not traded, but if they have the choice, they're not going to a place that's rebuilding. You know what I mean? They're not going to, teams aren't going to go to the, I'm trying to think, the Cleveland Cavaliers and be like, oh, I'm going to change this. I'm going to change it now. You know what I mean?
From a free agent point of view. No, unless they're joining somebody that's already there to help them carry the load.
Yeah, exactly. So unless there's like four of them or three of them going to the same spot.
Yep.
Free agency is so much more important for the viable teams than the draft is. The draft is kind of irrelevant for them.
Yeah, I've said that before. I hear you.
Yeah.
And you lay it out well. I don't know. I feel like maybe because I'm just thinking about the Knicks. I don't know. Maybe that would be one way to try to solve it. But I've always thought that I would like to see an experiment with a flip. It's not the end of the world. I'm not going to belabor it. But to your point about, you know, it really does take a couple of years with a few exceptions. You know, I just went back just a couple of drafts ago. 2017 mm-hmm. NBA draft, right?
Yep.
Just a couple. Markelle Fultz. Nobody knows what he is, mm-hmm. you know, yep. for different reasons, but yep. still. Lonzo Ball, okay, he's better than we thought after some early negative mm-hmm. reviews, but we still don't know exactly what he is yet. We have a sense, but don't fully know. We know Jason Tatum's a superstar. We know Josh Jackson. We yep. know De'Aaron Fox is legit.
Yep.
Markkanen's got questions. I like him, but still questions. Dennis Smith, forget it, big mm-hmm. questions. Malik Monk, big questions. Luke Kennard from Duke, big questions.
Where is he again?
I don't know.
Where is Kennard again?
He was drafted by Detroit. Wasn't he traded? He was traded, Luke Kennard. He went
Yeah, I think you might be right.
God, where the hell Luke Kennard? He was definitely drafted by Detroit.
But all of those that you were just running through, they're not. None of them are playoff teams. You know what I mean?
That's true.
So this was 2 years ago, and they're still not a playoff team yet. Mm-hmm. So it's just, I don't know. The draft is great. I just don't know if it has a serious difference, immediate difference in the fortunes, the short-term fortunes of basketball teams.
Here's a statement from the commissioner. The board's approval of the restart format is a necessary step toward resuming the NBA season, Adam Silver said. While the COVID-19 pandemic presents formidable challenges, we're hopeful of finishing the season in a safe and responsible manner based on strict protocols now being finalized with public health officials and medical experts. We also recognize that as we prepare to resume play, our society is reeling from recent tragedies of racial violence and injustice, and we will continue to work closely with our teams and players to use our collective resources and influence to address these issues in a very real and concrete manner. So there's the there's the statement from the commissioner. Listen, I mean, again, I don't know exactly what it's going to look like. You know, the worldwide world of sports, Disney's facility, nobody's going to be there. It's going to be a little weird. I can't wait for basketball. I just yep. hope that they're able to finish this season.
Who do you like? Lakers still?
No.
I mean, you don't? Who it's flipped? Did you like the Lakers a little bit before? I think I liked the Lakers a lot before the break.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think I still like them because I believe in LeBron, mm-hmm. and I believe that the urgency is most palpable with LeBron because he knows he's not doing what he did next season, what he did this year.
Yeah.
And so it's like his personal window might be shrinking a little bit. Now, could AD take on a greater role? Could, you know, some of those role players become more, you know, seasoned next year so he doesn't have to carry as much of a load and be as responsible for the success and maybe they get back to where they are? Maybe. But it's a lot of maybes. There's one guarantee. It's LeBron James is going to be LeBron James, right? But as soon as he can't be that, that's when you start to worry about the Lakers. So I think the will is with LeBron. Now, is that an actuality with LeBron? I don't know. I mean, I think the Clippers probably are benefiting health-wise from sitting a little bit, even though they probably lose some continuity, which they didn't have anyways. They didn't play a lot together.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to know who the favorite is. And we talked about this a little bit yesterday with Vegas, but just from a fan standpoint, who do you like when this thing all comes back? It's hard to, like, conceptualize it. But all things equal, meaning all things equal, everybody's out. They've been out for 3 months. Mm-hmm. I like the Lakers. I really do still.
Yeah, I know you do. They've got a real chance to win it for sure. I think the most interesting story is the Bucks, because, you know, and we've talked about this, like, who's got the most to lose here? Well, LeBron, legacy, additional championship, that's paramount.
Yeah.
That's huge. We know.
But if he doesn't, then we're not going to, like, fault him. We're not going to harshly judge him or the Lakers.
No, he's not going to drop. He's not going to go from the second or third best all time to number 13. His space is rarefied. He is golden. He's one of the all-time greats on one hand, for sure, depending upon where you put him. Depending upon what era, what style you subscribe to, how old you are, all that stuff. But to me, like the Bucks, especially, I mean, you know, you talk about like the unknown, the possibility of the unknown. And this is something that Tiki and I talked a lot about. Forget it, this before the pandemic. Like, you know, if the Bucks don't win or at least get to the NBA Finals before we were ravaged in March and everything stopped spinning properly, there's a chance he's going to leave Milwaukee. I mean, the Bucks can lose a player that they might have the ability to draft, or they might actually draft once every 20 or 30 years. They drafted a little 40 years, a little while Cinder in the 60s. And, I mean, they've had some other good players for sure, but not like this.
Yeah, not Giannis. You know, he's just a freak. You know, if he ever develops a shot, you know, like a KD type shot.
Well, he's never going to develop a KD.
But you know
shot.
What I mean? It's something close to it. If he if he develops a place that's either outside the 3-point line or, you know, like mid-range money shot, like KD. He has a spot. It's over in the right wing. He gets there. It's over. It doesn't matter. You can't defend him. If Giannis develops that shot, he's going to be unbelievable. You know what I mean? And so the Bucks will miss out on him because he hasn't developed that yet. So if he develops it and go someplace else, think about how lost you'll feel if you're a Milwaukee Buck fan.
Oh my God!
You know that could happen. Especially, I know. This is why BT was saying it's the pressure's on them, because if they don't win, at least this is what we were hearing. Mm-hmm. If they don't win or at least get to the finals this year, he could bounce, man. He's got tons of options, and anyone would want him.
Absolutely. And what if they lose like in horrific fashion? Like, what if they get knocked out in the first round? Like, again, I don't anticipate this, but nobody knows how prepared they are to play.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you'll have a training camp, so you'll be able to physically assimilate back, and you hope everybody's kind of back on the same. But you don't know. I mean, if they ever lost, like, really early, you know, how does that sour his views on, even if it's unfair to the Bucks because of the situation and the cards they've been dealt? I mean, they should be judged more on what they did during the regular season when they won 53 games so far, whatever it is, versus, you know, what could happen in some wacky contrived configuration return to the NBA season. That's not right, but that doesn't mean that it might not influence how he feels about staying with the Bucks.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how it's perceived or why it happened. It only matters if and does it happen.
Yeah, that's right.
That's it.
Yeah, it's a bottom line business for them. So they almost got to fulfill their potential. I think they will. I mean, there's no Raptors team that has like a quiet, you know, superstar. And
Celtics could beat them. Celtics could beat them.
Celtics
could push them.
They could push them. I'm not so sure they could beat them. But they don't. My point is, there's no. I'm talking about just in the Eastern Conference. There's no like Kawhi Leonard on the Raptors, who had this like sneaky G League development squad that became viable like all of a sudden and win the championship and knocked them off unexpectedly. There's not that team right now. In the Eastern Conference. So, this is a big deal. They're supposed to win the East this year. Now, teams will push them. Boston, they're right. They'll push them. You know, Philly, maybe.
Miami. Miami's tough.
Yeah, Miami's tough, but who's
Jimmy Butler's a beast.
I agree, but who's at the end of the day, it comes down to like, all right, who's got Giannis? You know what I mean? Like,
Jimmy
who's
Butler.
Got Giannis?
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
No, it's not Jimmy Butler.
No, it's not Jimmy Butler.
It's like,
right
who's
over.
Got Giannis? And so until you find someone who can either curtail or match, you know, whatever he's going to score in the postseason, 30. Mm-hmm. Like, whoever can curtail him or match him, it's really hard to see one of those Eastern teams beating the Milwaukee Bucks.
But the thing about the Heat, they got some guys that if they get hot from downtown, the Heat could beat anybody if they get hot from downtown. Like, the 76ers don't have enough shooters. We've talked about that.
Yep.
The
And that's Bud's weakness. right? It's like Tony Bennett in Virginia. If you can shoot the three, you might have a shot to beat him.
Mm-hmm. And Budenholzer has totally changed. I mean, the numbers before his arrival in terms of what the Bucks did from a three-point ratio. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's really modernized the offense. But it's one thing to modernize it conceptually. You got to have the guys that can stroke it. I mean, it's one thing to give guys the green light. And they got a couple of guys that can let it go. But Miami's got, you know, spacing in three or four different spots, not to mention a guy, Jimmy Butler. So you got the guy at the end of the game to get the big bucket or get to the foul line or get the big defensive stop because he's tough as nails. You got a championship-level coach in Spoelstra.
Mm-hmm.
I would not sleep on – I'm not saying you are. I'm not saying anybody. But I would not sleep on Miami. I don't care. In this crazy year, I think Miami, I'm not saying they will, I think Miami is capable of beating anybody. They really do.
But clearly, the favorites are the Bucks in the East.
Yeah.
Lakers in the West or Clippers
in the
West?
I'd give it to the Lakers. I was high on the Clippers most of the season. Didn't love what I saw from the Clippers at various spurts. And mm-hmm. I do like the way the Lakers were playing for the media. I would say the Lakers for me. Or a tick in front of the Clippers, yeah. And then, you know, you start to get, like, the Nuggets and teams below that. I think it's fair to say Lakers have earned a little bit benefit. I could place him in front of the Clippers right now. But let's get Antonio Daniels, Teak, see who he places where. He'll join us up next. Sirius XM, NBA radio host, former lottery pick back in the day, and a good friend of the show, part of the TV coverage for the Pelicans as well, and the Thunder out there with Comcast. So always good thoughts from Daniels. That's coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. It's 855-212-4CBS, sponsored by Geico. Geico's introduced the Geico Give Back. It's a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that'll last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. All right, Teak, let's get on one of our favorite guests. Always passionate takes. He is, I love him, man. I think he's terrific. I love him on Sirius XM NBA Radio. Quite candidly, I don't hear him anymore because I'm not in the car. Mm-hmm. I would catch him a lot when I'm driving in to do our show. I always pop on, see what he's got to say. And he is smart. He's on the money. Former NBA player. He's an analyst. And he's all over the scene. Talking about Antonio Daniels. AD. What's happening, buddy? How you doing today?
I am truly, truly blessed, fellas. My son turned 2 years old today.
Oh, congrats.
That's great. Happy birthday.
Yes. My little man turned 2 years old today, so I am extremely blessed, to say the least.
It's a great age, too. You know, one, they just kind of sit there like a big bowl of mush. You start getting to two and three, and they start asking, well, maybe not two, but you get to like three and four, they ask for themes, whether it's a superhero or, you know, some sort of cartoon. Two is a great age.
Oh,
awesome.
Yeah.
Congrats, man. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Good.
Thank you.
You got it. So we have a lot to hit. Let me start with this, Antonio. You've always been outspoken mm-hmm. on important issues, not just the basketball stuff. That you can do when you sleep. We know that. But I want to take us back to when you first entered. I think this is a good starting point. When you first entered the NBA, right, race relations in the NBA locker room and the perception of the world compared to now. How much progress? How different? Take us wherever you want to go with that. But I'm curious how you would connect the two.
Oh, man. How much progress? In NBA locker rooms or in the world?
I would say both, actually. First, start with the locker room. Start with the locker room.
Actually, to be honest with you, in NBA locker rooms, there's like, and Tiki can speak to this.
Mm-hmm.
Sports is always united.
Yeah.
People from different backgrounds and different cultures and different ethnicities. You know, so the locker room has never been an issue, but it's always an issue when you step out of that locker room into the real world. Because the fact of the matter is, when I'm in that locker room, I'm an NBA basketball player. When I step out of that locker room and into my car, I'm a black man in society.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's a drastic difference within the two. Sports has always united different backgrounds and different cultures.
Yeah.
And the difference from when I came into the NBA in 1997 to where we sit now 23 years later is there were certain things that were happening in 1997 that are happening today, but no. Social media wasn't present so we could all see it all the time.
Okay.
That's the difference.
Let me ask, great answer. Let me ask you this then. The because you didn't have social media, so Antonio Daniels, as a lottery pick coming out of Bowling Green, couldn't hop on a tablet or his phone and, you know, expand on topics to the world and let millions of people see it at that point. Were you and your teammates, particularly, you know, the African-American teammates, which is primarily the NBA, were you guys talking about – I know you couldn't communicate it publicly as much, but were you talking about the problems back then or not really?
You were talking about the problems when, you know, someone would come into the locker room and they would share their experience, which led to the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the fact of the matter is I know the outlook of what professional athletes are. And contrary to popular belief, everyone doesn't know, nor does everyone care about professional athletics. So people always feel, oh, well, you know what, you're different because you're an NBA basketball player. Again, when that uniform comes off and that locker room and you step out into the world, you're just another black man. I've been pulled over numerous times for DWB, for driving while black. It happens.
Yeah.
It happens. Mm-hmm. That's a part of life. Now that I am blessed to have a son, this hits me more. It hits me different. To have a son that turns 2 years old today and to think about how this world will view him as he gets older. I know how I'm viewed today at 45 years old, and I've accomplished a lot in my life. I am a loving husband, a loving father. I am a present father. I'm educated. I've done a lot with my life. But that doesn't matter. So I wonder, if I'm seen like this in 2020, how will my son be seen in 2040? How will my son be seen in 2030? If I'm seen as a threat, how will he be seen as a threat? Or we have an opportunity as parents now. We have an opportunity as parents to speak into the lives of our children. And what I mean by that is this, fellas. What are you telling your children at home to make sure when they become of age, they won't hate my child? What am I telling my child at home to make sure when he and my daughters become of age that they won't hate yours?
Yeah.
All the things that we are talking about or that we are discussing are passed down from generation to generation.
That's right.
And this has the opportunity. This generation has the opportunity to be the generation to stop this unhealthy cycle.
Good stuff, dude.
That's right. Solidify the social contract that we always talk about. Now, Antonio, I think, you know, just to expound on BT's question, in football it's different because the predominant names, like the guys that you know that are, you know, elite, are the quarterbacks, and a lot of them are white. In the NBA, it's not that way. Like the dominant names, the ones that everybody, they're black. But I ask you, you know, the conversations, you know, that are happening now with white players in locker rooms, what are those like? You know what I mean? Like what? Because we had this conversation about Drew Brees earlier today, and it's not that Drew is bad in any sense of the word. He's got not a bad bone in his body, but he couldn't articulate it the right way, and it's like an lack of understanding in a sense, even though he's been around African Americans probably his whole life, you know, from Purdue and then obviously in the NFL for as long as he's been. What's the white athlete? How are they processing all of this, or how should they be processing all of this?
You know what? I'm going to be honest with you. I have no right to tell white athletes how they should process this the same way white athletes don't have the right to tell me how I should hurt or how I should be angry. I can tell you from a black man's perspective, I don't think the white man's voice as far as an ally has ever been more powerful. You know, I have a lot of white colleagues of mine that have reached out, a lot of white friends of mine that have reached out to talk to me about everything that's going on within this world. And I tell them, you know what? Do not feel guilty for being white. The Lord embraces diversity. It says in the Revelations, all tribes, all languages, and all people. The Lord embraces diversity. Do not feel guilty for being white. Feel guilty for being silent. Because I know for us, the world has always heard our voice. We've always had to deal with this. But the difference now, as opposed to years past, is when you look at some of these silent protests and when you look at some of the riots that are taking place, it's not just us. It's multicultural. It's multi-ethnic. There are a lot of allies out there that are using their voice because the world has always heard our voice. Mm-hmm. Other voices need to be heard because their voices are extremely powerful.
So that's Antonio Daniels. Really good stuff on that. I wanted to obviously get your thoughts on what's most important right now. We'll do a couple of the basketball questions at least here. But Antonio, SiriusXM, NBA Radio, lottery pick back of the day, 1997 Bowling Green, with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, TV analyst. You're still doing the Pelicans and the Thunder, so you're busy.
No, not the Thunder.
Not the Thunder.
Not
I mean,
the Thunder. I'm just the
Pelicans.
Yeah, just a color analyst for the Pelicans. Yes,
yeah, sir. Yeah. You know, so to get to basketball, what's this going to be like for you? Because the Pelicans are part of the 22, and we know why. Because we're going to manipulate this however we can to get the Pelicans and some of these young teams that don't have really a shot to win a championship, but we want to see them for 8 games, and maybe even a play-in game. Playing series, I should say. You know, how is this going to work for you all as broadcasters? Because I think it's going to indicate a lot of what this is going to look like.
Right, and we're not sure yet. You know, from what I know, we would be calling the games. I'm not sure where from what this will look like. This is the thing about what COVID-19 has brought and has given to all of us. This NBA is going to look completely different than what any of us are accustomed to. We're not accustomed to the NBA looking or resembling the NBA Summer League, and that's what it'll look like. You know, you'll have a game at 1, and then a game at 4, and then a game at 7, and then a game at 9.
It's like
we're
AAU.
Not accustomed to seeing that.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. It's like AAU. We don't know where we're going to be calling the games from. No idea.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to be from Orlando. I don't know if it's going to be from New Orleans. I'm not sure if it's going to be from Dallas. I have no idea. All that we know right now is the same thing you know, in the sense that after the meeting today, the governor's meeting, the board of governors meeting that they voted on, now we're just waiting on the players to vote as well, which we all think that will happen tomorrow, and then we'll get back to playing basketball. It's going to be different. It is going to be different. The NBA is going to look a little different, but I think the most important thing right now with Adam Silver and the brain trust of the NBA is to get the NBA back out there. They've been proactive and in the front of everything. So if you go back to March, when the NBA shut down, everything shut down after that. Mm-hmm. And I know the NBA wanted to have a hand in being one of the first leagues to be proactive in the fact of getting back on the floor, getting back out there, and to take every possible precaution to aid players and their families from COVID-19. They've done a lot. I'm not going to lie. If we would have had this conversation 2.5-3 months ago, I would have told you that I did not see the NBA coming back.
And neither did I.
And they've solved a lot of the major issues. Mm-hmm. Now the most complicated thing is, what will the schedule look like? That was the most complicated piece now, which back then would have seemed like the simplest piece.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. So you have a championship. You beat my Knicks back in 99 with the Spurs.
Mm-hmm.
Should the champion, whomever emerges, should they be viewed differently in the historical context of the NBA? No. Why not?
No. And here's the thing. Why?
Well,
it's not like any of the 22 teams that are returning are dealing with something that the other team hasn't dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that has happened that has been given any team any clear-cut athletic advantage. So why would there be an asterisk by it? You know, because
home court, travel, right. Home court. You know, I mean,
but here's the thing: nobody has home court, and Tiki will tell you.
Yeah.
In playing this sport, there are a number of things that have to happen for teams to win championships. So. Should the Toronto Raptors have an asterisk by their name because Kevin Durant got hurt and Klay Thompson got hurt? Should we, in 1999, have an asterisk by our championship because Patrick Ewing got hurt? No. That's sports. That's sports.
Yeah,
you know, we could have. What do people expect to happen? Oh, Patrick Ewing's out. Oh, no. Wait a minute. No. We don't want to play until the Knicks are fully healthy. So we want to hold off the NBA. No, you play who's in head. You play who's in front of you.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what this NBA, like I said, it's not everybody's inconvenienced. All 22 teams that are returning, organizations, families, coaches, players, stars, role players, everybody's inconvenient, but they're all dealing with the same thing.
Gotcha.
True. Hey.
T, did you have one quick one or not?
No, okay, that's good. It. I was going to say, the only thing that'll make it like feel odd is if like LeBron or Kawhi, somebody
right.
gets COVID and doesn't play
I
at all.
I said the same thing today on our show. Right. Yep. Now, that's different.
Yep.
That's different. Like, but what can we do? You know?
Nothing.
I said that same thing on our show today.
Yeah.
You know, it's a shame if you make it all the way to the NBA Finals or the Western Conference Finals, the next thing you know, one of the star players in this league who has the offensive responsibility on his shoulders to lead his team, if they contract COVID-19. But what is the opponent supposed to do?
Yeah, you're right.
You got to keep playing.
In front of them.
No, I got gotcha. You.
Right, exactly.
And by the way, and we got to run here. I appreciate you throwing me a little bone, maybe making me feel better. But Ewing was shot. Even if Ewing was healthy in 99, those knees were done. You guys were going to win. We all know Pat was done.
I won't say that. I would never say that. I will never say that publicly out loud.
You don't have to. I said it for you. AD, congrats on your little guy's birthday. Really,
yeah,
really, really good things to chew on. Great conversation as always, buddy. Good having you back on the show.
All right. Anytime, fellas. You guys have a blessed one.
You too.
Appreciate
man.
You, brother.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. All right. Let's get the update from Mac. We've got a little blast right after. That was good. He's always good. If you maybe jumped into the middle of the interview, you want to hear the beginning, send it along to a buddy, radio.com, Apple iTunes, Tiki and Tierney Search. It'll pop right up. Very good. Very functional. Good spot as always with AD. Update. Here is Ack. Take it away, Rich. It's the Hawks coach yesterday. If you bring back Vince Carter maybe for a little opening night salute next year so that Vince Sanity could go out the right way. That's it, though. The four-decade NBA career is over. 4 decades in the NBA, parts of 4 decades. That is absolutely amazing in that sport. Wow. At his position.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's amazing. He's obviously going to hang him up. One of the great Skywalkers, a high flyer, UNC pedigree. Played on a lot of different teams. Boy, oh boy, played almost 1,600 games. Let me see. Hold on. What he finishes up with 17. Yeah, I mean, that's 17 points a game. That's not Vince. That's what happens when you hang on. I mean, Mickey Mantle's mm-hmm. big regret was Mickey hung on a little bit too long, and the batting average sunk below 300. Anybody who saw Mickey back in the day always says Mickey was a 300 hitter. As a matter of fact, Mickey said before he passed away a while ago, he said, "It's my greatest regret is that I hung on too long. Everybody know I was a 300 hitter." Yeah, that's one of the things. You know, if you're a boxer and you hang around too long, you're gonna get clipped pretty often and pretty ugly, and the stats are going to go in the wrong direction. But he didn't care about stats. Vince Carter's a guy who needs to get celebrated, as we have. Everybody appreciates mm-hmm. Vince that knows the NBA. But, boy, what a career. As a true athlete, a guy who can run and was fast like you, I mean, could you imagine doing what he did this year? He didn't play a lot of minutes still, but at age 40 in the NBA?
No.
Can you imagine that?
No, he's older than that, right?
Well, I think he's 41.
Yeah, but, I mean, I feel like I was watching him in college when I was there.
You were.
It's crazy how long he played. But, he took care of his body.
Yeah.
And some people are just blessed like that. He was certainly one of them.
That is true. Let's get to the blast. Here we go, Diso. What do you got?
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes. But don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, let's get to Allen Robinson, wide receiver. The Bears said he's not stressing a contract extension as he enters his final year. So, if healthy, can Robinson be an elite, still be an elite receiver in the NFL?
If he has a good quarterback, he can be an elite receiver in the National Football League. Let's not forget, back in 2015, in his second year, he had 14 touchdowns, which led the league. He caught 1,400 yards and receiving just under – he only had 80 receptions. Last year, he almost had 100 receptions, and we know how inferiorly talented Mitch Trubisky has been. So if – I think one of the great offseason moves was Nick Foles getting signed there. I think, and I've said this from the minute he signed him, that he's probably going to win that job. If he can advance and make Allen Robinson the player that his potential is – he can turn into an elite player. I mean, he's only 26, so he's still got room to grow. I'm going to say, yeah, I think he can, but it's got to take a lot of things around him working out right.
I think what's going to happen with him, he's going to be judged by the contract here. If he gets a ridiculous deal, let's say he has a good season, Bears don't bring him back, or the Bears do, and he gets huge money with the Bears or somewhere else. I don't know that he's that kind of guy. You know, he's not going to put up 100 whatever catch. He's not a high volume guy like that. Now, granted, he's been handcuffed by some poor quarterback play. I get that. But boy, he's big. 6'3", 220. Mm-hmm. People forget how Allen Robinson's a big kid, big young man. So I think if the contract is not outlandish, he'll be judged fairly. And if he's judged fairly, then the production will be commensurate with the contract, and he will be viewed as a star. If the contract's off the charts, I don't know if he'll ever be able to fulfill that just based on the sheer repetition, like the usage rate. So I hear you. Maybe I'm taking a little bit of a slightly different approach, but I do like him, and he's a big player. All right, Bruce Arians says that Devontae Freeman, who's a free agent running back, that the price is too steep for the Bucs, who have just about $5 million in cap space. Does Tampa need Freeman? I don't think they need him. I think anybody would be, could use somebody like Devontae Freeman. Listen, there's a lot of players that I think that can just fit into that offense that aren't, getting a ton of money. Like, Shady's going to go back to Philly, but you tell me LeSean McCoy, for a year at a couple million dollars wouldn't be good for that offense with those receivers and tight ends and Tom Brady? I mean, yeah, so do they need to, they don't need Freeman, but of course he would help. But no, they don't need him.
They don't need him. Ronald Jones is a really good player. They drafted Keyshawn Vaughn from Vanderbilt this year, who I don't know a ton about, but he was good enough to use a third-round pick. But honestly, their third running back, Dare Ogunbowale, who's from Wisconsin, is a really good player. And so they have the depth that they need at running back right now. And if Devontae Freeman is asking for too much, it's not worth it. Because we know the situation with running backs. You either have an elite one, like a Christian McCaffrey or Saquon or Zeke or one of those guys, or you have it by committee. They have a really good committee right now.
Or you have one like my team who is paid like an elite guy but no longer is elite. And Le'Veon Bell. There you go. It wouldn't hurt if the head coach actually knew how to use him and he came in shape, but hopefully this year he plays well. The NBA teams are reportedly preparing for John Wall's return to the Wizards during the restart. We've talked about this. Could the Wizards make a little noise if they have a healthy Wall and Beal?
Oh, they're going to be interesting. There might be a lot of scoring and be some battling over who takes the most shots between Bradley Beal, who's gotten used to taking 20-something a game now, versus John Wall, who's going to want to show that he's still got it and wants to earn his contract. But the real issue is that they're not big at all. They have no one crashing the boards. We talked about this yesterday, BT. So they better be extremely efficient, their two-guard combination. Otherwise, it might get ugly for them. But it'll be interesting for sure if John Wall comes back and plays.
It won't be interesting at all. They're 5.5 games behind the Magic in the 8th spot. They're not going to win enough, nor do I think that the Magic will lose enough for them to relinquish that 8th spot. They're not even going to make the playoffs. So,
of course not, but they could be interesting.
Well, yeah, but I perceived the question. My interpretation was, could they make some noise? I mean, make noise, meaning,
like threaten to get to the postseason and go deep and win a series? No, they're not.
Well, how would you read this? Could the Wizards make some noise if they have a healthy Wall and Beal?
You're paying attention. Wow, these guys look good together. That's how I took it.
Yeah. Next year, he's got to scrape that rust away. He's got to learn how to play with the gear that's probably going to be missing maybe forever. I hope he comes back and plays well. John Wall's healthy, and when John Wall's on, they're an interesting team. They're a fun team to watch, but they need size. But they do need size. Tiki's right about that. Chris Archer, now on the Pirates, has been there for a little bit, formerly the Rays. He's going to miss the season, if there is one, due to surgery to relieve symptoms of thoracic outlet syndrome. David Cone had this. A few people have had this back in the day. Should players with injury issues take care of them now? It's a good question. And be ready for a potentially full 2021 season. Well, boy, I think it depends where you are contractually. You got to look out for yourself, number one.
Yep.
Also, let's face it, if I am the Pirates, since there's probably going to be no fans there, what would he get? If, say, it's a 50-game season, maybe he gets 9 or 10 starts, maybe only 5 are in Pittsburgh with no fans. So, you know what? I probably would, and this is not my manner to usually say punt on anything and competitively, but I think it's probably beneficial to the team, would behoove them to punt and come back and ready to go in 2021 with Archer.
Yeah, he's got Let's see. He got, is this a team option or a player option? I know he's got an option. I don't know if it's a team or the player. In 2021, he's playing on a $9 million deal right now. He's 31 years old.
It's got to be a team.
It's gonna be, yeah, it's going to be 32 years old. I mean, he almost maybe needs to play, if that makes any sense.
He's 32 already?
Next year, he'll be 32.
He's a little younger now.
Yeah, I did too. I felt like he was a kid in Tampa
32.
A couple of years ago. But he's been with the Pirates now for this will be his third year.
Yeah.
So, and he was hurt, obviously, all of last year. So, yeah. I mean, he might need to play BD.
Boy, you mean prove himself a little bit?
Yeah, just no, like say, I'm not over the hill. I'm not washed up. I still got it.
Yeah. Otherwise, he becomes Matt Harvey pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Harvey's pretty much done. So
that's right.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, I can see you both ways. I hear you. All right. Arizona State punter Michael Turk was granted NCAA eligibility after going undrafted and unsigned in the NFL, despite hiring an agent and going to the combine. Now I guess you can do whatever you want. So he did hire the agent. All right, but it looks like they're trying to do the right thing. Should this become the norm or just this instance because of COVID-19?
I think, you know, I honestly think this should be the norm. The problem is you create a real problem for NCAA schools when you start allowing this to happen. You know, this happened because he didn't get seen. He didn't get looked at. Nobody knows who he is, size, etc. I think this should be the norm, but they got to put some rules around this to make sure that there's not, you know, guys getting paid by agents and then coming back. So I'm actually happy for Michael Turk. But
yeah, sure. I mean, I'm happy for him as well. Yeah. I think it might be perceived a little differently if he wasn't a punter.
That's a good point.
Like if he was good a point. Receiver with big numbers or a quarterback or defensive end who had some, you know, high sack numbers or a shutdown corner or at least a shutdown inferior shot. The fact that he's a punter, nobody really cares what you do. Let's be honest. I mean, I'm not saying they're not influential on the game. Of course they are. But nobody's going to expend any energy wasting time on the punter coming back.
No.
But, you know, well, I don't know how to feel about this one because he did sign.
Yeah.
It is a bad precedent, but he is a punter. Yeah, you know what? Just do what's right for the kids. Who cares? Whatever.
Agreed.
Teague, have a great Thursday.
You too, brother.
Thank you, man. Everybody else out there, enjoy what remains of your night. We'll catch you tomorrow. Have a great Friday show. Get you into the weekend. Remain safe, sensible, and sane. We'll see you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.